Well, hello out there in Radio Land, boys, girls, and everybody who has decided to partake of this stimulating, intellectual, humorous, and otherwise splendiferous radio broadcasting experience. Adam Lett back with you with all the fine descriptive terms that I find it enjoyable to employ with my microphone mate, brother in broadcasting, and most importantly, partner in crime, our official presidentologist, guru of history and other stimulating and similar situations, Dr. Ron L. Feynman, where L stands for lots of great radio over the last 7 years. And how is September treating you so far, Ron?
Well, it's a holiday weekend, so it feels good. You know,
yes.
It's been good.
We'll let people know we're actually going to play this show many, many times because it's going to be so awesome. But we're starting out by playing it during the Labor Day.
I hope the heat goes away. The heat's too much in
time frame.
The country. I hope it goes away soon. Yeah.
Yes, it's a toasty one out there in Florida. Now, you were not in the area that was affected by Hurricane Idalia, correct? That was more toward...
Thank goodness, no.
The northwestern part of Florida.
Because now it's the second hurricane to hit the west coast and the northern part of Florida, and I'm thinking, when is it going to come around to this side that we're going to have one? I'm so scared of it. You know, I worry about it because of the global warming issue, so it is a problem. But no, it did not hit us.
Now, we know you're not a fan of another person named Ron, who's well-educated and quite a bit younger than yourself. That would, of course, be the governor in Tallahassee, Florida, which wasn't too far from the path of the hurricane. In the past, Ron, we've talked about Florida governors that you might not have been overly enamored with, Jeb Bush being the one that comes up. And even if you didn't like their politics in general, you were pleased by the way they handled the hurricane. How do you think Governor Ron DeSantis has handled the hurricane? Just forgetting what you think about him with other stuff. Do you think he's done a good job and will do a good job? Because obviously Florida is hurricane prone. There will be more hurricanes. How do you think he did for this past one? And what's your forecast, pun intended, about Governor DeSantis' handling of the hurricane issue in Florida?
Well, I mean, I think he's done the minimum that has to be done. But honestly, he should have met with Joe Biden yesterday. And even former governor, now Senator Rick Scott, who is no fan of Joe Biden, did go and meet with him. And I think there was no excuse for him not to meet with him. So, you know, last year he did meet with him, last year when we had the earlier hurricane, Hurricane Ian. I guess it's all because he's running for president now, and he thinks this makes him look bad, because he's thinking of what happened to Chris Christie when Hurricane Sandy hit New Jersey, and Christie met with Obama, and it did hurt his campaign when he was trying Christie in 2016 to be the nominee, but I don't think that's why he didn't get it, but he was criticized. But this is the Republican way. They criticize if you deal with the Democratic president. But it's just inappropriate. Whoever's president, you have to show respect, and you should show up at a natural disaster where the U.S. government is helping you out. So I deplore what he's doing, but he's horrible. I just saw something on TV about this young man that asked him a question, and he didn't really get an answer. And then this guy was being harassed by his supporters or his security because they knew that he was, in their mind, a troublemaker for asking the wrong question. He's a very testy guy, our governor of Florida, and I think he's a disaster and he's not going anywhere.
So how did the handling by Jeb Bush compare? Obviously, it's much better from your perspective. What did Jeb Bush do differently? What would he have done in this case if he were governor today versus what DeSantis
did? I think first of all, he happened to be governor most of the time when there was his own brother was the president, so that helped. And the thing is that the hurricanes hit mostly in 04, 05, and that's when his brother was president. But the fact is that I think Jeb Bush, you know, I never really cared for him, but I never felt that he was obnoxious. But I think Florida has gone downhill with this last couple of governors, Rick Scott, but even worse with Ron DeSantis. It was much better. Republicans 20 years ago were much more civil and much more humane. And Jeb Bush actually looks pretty good in history in comparison, of course.
God, when you meet with your brother, who's the president, what do you call him? Scott and I have talked about forms of address, and you and I have also. You wouldn't call your own brother Mr. President. He would just call him George, right?
I assume so. Maybe not in public if he was with him. He would just say President Bush when he was talking, Governor Bush, or former governor. Yeah, but that's
the
true.
Forms of address, and I've come up with you and myself, too. It's just kind of a fascinating thing. Plus, it's evolved. As you would never call your
the only you know, the only appropriate way to call a president is president and his name, like President Biden, President Trump, or Mr. President when you're addressing him or writing him. Anything else is not considered proper. Either Mr. So-and-so or President So-and-so is the proper
kind
way.
Kind of a fascinating study, though. Yes, certainly when the president's your brother, it's going to change a few things. And when you're
private.
embroiled in a continual verbal battle with the existing president, can you guys shake hands and let your differences be stepped aside? Touchy situation for sure, but did want to hear your comment.
Yes.
And hurricanes are a fact of life this time of the year, and we certainly hope that it's not going to be a major hurricane season. I mean, you don't know. They are fascinating, but they're also very destructive and expensive. So we'd like to think we can learn something by not only the actual course of the hurricane, and is there climate change? Is there an evolution in exactly how hurricanes are manifesting themselves in the world that we live in? And how are they handled politically? It's a fascinating study, even though it's something that is often very tragic. So we'll just...
Yes, well, the ocean and the Gulf of Mexico are very hot now, hotter than they've ever been, because that does spur hurricanes. You know, the hot of the water. So that is worrisome long term, not just this year, but long term. It's probably going to be an increased number of hurricane threats for the years to come.
Yeah, the whole climate change thing.
Gulf. Yeah.
It's a fascinating study for sure, and time will tell. That's the best way. Every day, again, that I'm on this earth, I'm thankful and like to think you learn something new every day. It doesn't matter if you're 8 or 78 or kind of in the middle.
Yeah, I have to say, talking about being happy you're on earth, after having two people that are well-known die in their sleep in one day's time, it makes you really think about your own life. You know, it really does.
I presume,
you never know.
Like myself, great respect for the musician Jimmy Buffett, also an entrepreneur who really took a popular song that people sing at karaoke all the time, and you hear it on many radio stations because it crosses over into multiple formats, kind of like a lot of the Eagles songs. Margaritaville, is it soft rock? Can you play it on a classic rock station? It's pop, obviously. It wasn't a tremendous hit, but it was a fairly big hit. It's kind of country, and it's kind of a song you sit by the beach and drink your favorite beverage. Definitely has a lot of impact on pop culture, and Jimmy Buffett, very missed, talented man, and from what I've heard, a really nice guy, too. Didn't ever get the chance to meet him, but be kind of fascinating doing a little karaoke jam session with someone like that. Yeah,
was he interviewed by Scott, by the way? Was he interviewed by Scott?
I don't think so, but of course, Scott has interviewed Brenda Lee, Ray Stevens, so why would you possibly expect him not to? I don't believe so, but... I will certainly
ask. What about
ask.
Bill Richardson, the diplomat who was really a major law student? Has he ever been interviewed by your station?
I don't think so, but again, whenever I've thought Scott had not interviewed somebody, I'm sometimes wrong, and anybody who hangs out with Phil Donahue and Marlo Thomas at their New York City penthouse, I wouldn't put it past him. I wouldn't put it past him to have, as I say, Chucky Baby or King Charles on with him. I've certainly challenged him to that. So.
That would be amazing, King Charles, yeah.
what would Scott call King Charles? Now, again, I've talked to him about his inconsistency in how he addresses people. He insists upon calling you Dr. Feynman, but he has to think of at least one PhD that he has addressed by the first name. So what would you call King Charles? Your majesty, your wonderfulness, your kingness? I would just call him Chucky Baby. I wonder if he would mind that.
I wonder how he would be. I'd probably laugh at it, I think, King Charles.
Yeah, I've heard he's got a great sense of humor. What's he going to do? I mean, that's his name. I don't know. So.
Yeah. Well, I don't mind being called Dr. Feynman, but I don't certainly insist on it. Being called Ron is fine.
Yeah, it's a lot easier, too. You know, less syllables.
Yes.
So... You write the blog, Ron, theprogressiveprofessor.com, and that's what you are, the progressive professor, or as I anoint you, I guess that's the word, anoint you, the presidentologist officially of this station, the History News Network, of course, your college and other places, and recently started your, I don't know, 174th year as a college professor there in Florida.
Yeah.
Florida Atlantic.
It's going very well,
So how is that going? I would assume with this election, with all these colorful people in office, There's been a lot of interest in your class. You said that it is at capacity. How's it going? Are the students kind of challenging you? Do you have any students who are just big Trump supporters and they think you're just a wacky liberal? Or what's the scoop, can you tell us, with your teaching so far?
It's only 2 weeks into the course, so there's not too many people who speak up that early. It takes a while to get to know each other. So mostly I've just been speaking, but I bring up issues and a few people speak up, but it's pretty quiet at this point. But a lot of it is they have to get to know you and feel comfortable, you know. So it's only 2 weeks in. So, but I have talked about some of the issues that are going on around us, you know. So mostly them listening to me, not them making many comments.
And but no, the students have been docile, as they say. No arguments, no.
Yes. Yes. Well, I think they're a little nervous in the beginning of any course. They kind of get to know, you know, I guess the limits of a professor. Some professors are more difficult to deal with. I think they have to get to know you. I mean, and I think it does get better as the courses go on. But in the beginning, it's still very early. Yeah. You know?
And again, this has come up a lot with Scott and his younger co-hosts about exactly how you do address people. And since it's been a long time since I've been in school, that has changed. When you, yes. I know this is just kind of silly, but I was curious. So when you walk in, when I was in school, professors would walk in. And again, it's a little different in grad school. It's more informal, more casual. But in undergrad, yeah. They walk in and say, "Hi, I'm Professor Jones," and proceeds to provide information on contact information, course content, testing, et cetera. Of course, we had syllabi is a plural of syllabuses on paper. We had books.
Yes.
A lot of it now is more electronic. And of course, there are online classes and you email the teacher, et cetera. So when you walk in, do you say, "Good afternoon" or "Good morning, my name is Professor Feynman"? Exactly. How do you introduce yourself, and has it evolved where someone will just see in the hallway and say, "Hey there, Ron, how's it going?" Does that happen? Or tell us a little bit about that, because it's been so long that I've been in school. I'm really curious.
Yeah, I introduce myself. On my syllabus, it says Dr. Feynman, and I call myself Dr. Feynman when I walk in. But when people outside say Mr. Feynman, I don't care. Nobody's ever called me first name. But sometimes someone will say, "Is it all right to call you Mr. or Professor?" I said, "Sure." But I do introduce myself as Doctor, and it's on the syllabus. It says Doctor, yeah.
Well, that's kind of fascinating. Just kind of wondering. Well, Mr., to me, that's more like a high school teacher or someone who doesn't have a PhD.
Or Professor Feynman sometimes.
Yeah, Professor.
But nobody has called me my first name. If they did, I wouldn't get upset. I would probably laugh if they called me Ron, you know. If I wouldn't make an issue of it, certainly. But I don't tell them to call me Ron either.
You're only teaching this one presidency course, right?
Right now, I'm down to that after years of doing too many classes. Yeah, I'm just teaching
in
one
course. In the past, you've had multiple. Have you had any repeat students? Are these always new students? Anybody?
You kidding? I have one student who took me, because I taught at Broward Community College and at FAU years ago, took me, between the two of them, eight different courses with me. And he ended up getting a master's in teaching for a while, and now he's a librarian. Notice I have one person who took me for 24 credits, so we used to joke that he majored in history and minored in Feynman, or majored in Feynman and minored in history. Isn't that funny? 24 credits with me.
So you've got some groupies, don't you?
And I have others who have taken me for four or five classes, but there's one person who I'm still friends with and his wife. He took me for eight courses.
Is anybody in the current class that has been a previous student?
Not in the present class, no, but actually the former department secretary sits in on the class. So she just comes in and sits in the class just for the purposes, and she thinks I'm great, you know, and I say, "Come in, sure, why not?" You know.
And again, I know things have changed, so pardon my lack of knowledge. Do you have a textbook, or how does that work? Is it on a CD, or is it? Do you email them?
No, it's an actual book. Well, they can certainly get it online, but I actually order it as a book, and you know, it's a book, Milkus and Nelson on the presidency, and also my own assassinations book is a writing assignment. So those are the two books they have to use in the course. But they can get it online. You can even do my book, an e-book, online. You know, you don't have to get the actual copy. But somebody in the class, in the second meeting, brought up a hardcover, which is more expensive than softcover, and said, "Would you mind signing this?" I said, "Of course not." But it was nice because it's been a while since anybody's done that, because the book is from 8 years ago. So it's still nice if some people come up and ask for an autograph. Yeah.
Well, that's quite fascinating. I thought that might occur. Just, yes. You know, a little curious, and I know things have changed. Since I've been in college, of course, you've been in academia well before I was, and we've seen good and bad things. I know you greatly prefer not having the online classes, or at least keeping them to a minimum. Nothing beats.
Well, I've done it when I had to, you know, during the pandemic. But otherwise, I don't care for it. I prefer to be in person, you know.
Nothing beats the person-to-person communication. And even a book, yeah, we could put it on a CD or some other electronic method. But just the fact that you're touching the paper and turning the pages, that adds to me
yes.
a mystique. And I think it caused you to learn better, and I wouldn't want that to change. And I think if you have written the book that's pertinent, then I think you should use it as a text, and think it's a good idea.
Yes.
Combining that with another book. So
mm-hmm.
I'm sure the students
yeah,
will learn.
The other book is a general book. Yeah. The other book is a general book on the whole history of the presidency. Yeah.
They'll laugh a little bit and definitely have some brain cell increasing as the course goes on, and wish you well, and hopefully you continue teaching for a very long time. I guess final nosy question
yes,
about your
so.
College career, Ron. As far as you know, are you the oldest professor at FAU? Anybody older than yourself who's still professoring? How's that for a nosy question?
In the department or at the university?
Yeah, in the whole university, if you know. I mean, you obviously...
I think there are a few people who are in their 80s, actually. A few, not very many, but a few, yeah. Not right. full-time, I think, but I think people maybe will retire and come back and teach part-time, like, which is really what I'm doing. I'm part-time. I think there are a few in their 80s, but I don't know how many. But certainly I believe I am the oldest person in the department, that I'm, as far as I know, as far as age. Yeah, but I don't think of myself that way.
No, you seem much younger. I just kind of wondering, while I was asking these nosy, weird questions that aren't overly related to the presidency that we're supposed to talk about, I thought I would kind of spit it out. And, you know, as they say, Ron, the only dumb question is the question not asked. So
you're right. I want to make the point also that I always point out that it's my 52nd year, but then I'll, not to the class, I just say, but to others, I'll say, I'm only 49, though. They all laugh.
Well, that's the way the cookie crumbles, as my daddy used to say. So Ron does write the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com, which we encourage you to read daily, as I do. Bookmark it. Just take you a minute or two to read it most days. And if you don't agree with what's on there, use an appropriate four-letter word to shout at your phone or computer. If you do like it, let Ron know. Send him an email. Make a comment on his social media. And, of course, tell your friends and family about it. They might actually learn something. So the first thing we're going to talk about during this program, Ron, since it occurred just after we last got together for a program and taping of a program, is, of course, the comedy show, the Republican debate, which was put on by Fox. And of course, you and I agreed on some things, didn't agree on some others. Quite a cast of characters there. And, of course, Donald Trump not being a participant. So, first of all, do you agree with Donald's decision not to participate because everybody in the world and the universe knows who he is anyway? Or should he have been there? What's your opinion first about Donald not being at the festivities?
I think he should have been there, but he's arrogant and he doesn't care what people think, you know, and that's why how anybody could still back him after everything that's happened in his career and his life is beyond me. To me, people who still support him have to have mental illness, because it just doesn't make any sense rationally why they should still back him. You can like what he did, but after what happened on January 6, 2021, and everything since, including saying he wants to destroy the Constitution and put his enemies in prison, how can anybody back him? That's fascism. So he should have been there, but I'm not surprised he wasn't.
Now, we tend to agree, Nikki Haley, fairly moderate, kind of a voice of reason, that Chris Christie talking about how he's not a fan of the Donald, and that elicited a few boos. Mr. Ramaswamy, very sharp young man, obviously, but bit arrogant. And
He's horrible.
Some folks
he's
may
smart,
find him
horrible.
A bit extreme. Burgum.
Yeah, but I found it interesting. On MSNBC, 20 years ago, he was a student, 18 years old, who actually questioned Reverend Al Sharpton, who was running for president back in 2003. And they showed it on MSNBC. It's hilarious seeing him at 18 and Sharpton 20 years younger, and now he was interviewed just recently by Al Sharpton at MSNBC after 20 years. That was quite fascinating to see that.
Yeah, I mean, we agree. He's a sharp young man. It'd be nice to see someone who's not of the Caucasian persuasion to be president, because not everybody in this country is a member of that ethnic group, but you and not. Others
declining
feel that
all the time,
Mr. Ramaswamy may not be a good choice to be in that position, but we do agree he's a smart man, and he certainly is the embodiment of the American dream, but he certainly also has his extreme viewpoints, and I say he smiles a bit too much. Where he said... Where he said he was the skinny guy with the funny last name, yes, Obama said that, but I don't really fault him for that. I think he was kind of joking around that it worked for Obama, could it work for him? I don't see an issue with that. It was kind of funny.
I think his goal, though, Ramaswamy, I think he knows he's not going to be the nominee, but he would love if Trump picked him as his running mate, and in theory, if Trump won, he'd be VP, and then if something happens to Trump, then he's president. I think that's his major goal right now, to be vice president.
Yeah, that's been bantered about, and I would tend to agree. Now, speaking of vice presidents, Trump's former vice president, one state to our west, Mr. Michael Pence. I was not impressed, as I told you off the air, Ron, about his public speaking. He doesn't sound very confident, and I respect his right to religion, but he brings it up way too many times. Honestly, I'm tired of hearing about
it. Oh my gosh, too much, yes.
And it doesn't bode well. We separate church and state here. I really thought I'd be more impressed by the guy. He really left a sour taste in my mouth, and I think he was an okay vice president. Again, he didn't seem to really do much as the VP, but he's not presidential material. He was the person I was least impressed with, definitely. Haley, I found Haley to be more moderate than I thought she was. She made it clear she wasn't really going to get in the way of abortion legislation. She stressed a topic that's very important to me, the biological men playing women's sports. That's a problem that's going to increase until we nip it in the bud, and let's hopefully try to do that as soon as possible. Didn't agree with her on the Ukraine support issue, although I'm not sure she would actually do as she said she would in office. A lot of things, she seemed like a traditional, middle-of-the-road conservative.
She's trying to be.
She is well-spoken. She's easy on the eyes, very smart, like Ramaswamy of East Asian Indian descent, and I think that would be cool to have a female East Asian Indian president. We've talked about Haley many times, Ron. We both like her intelligence and like that she tries to be moderate. You feel she's wavered a bit, but of course that'll happen when people are in very noticeable positions. Did her debate performance increase your opinion of her, or what was your assessment after?
Well, I did put it down as a, quote, winner. She and Chris Christie, I thought, were the best performance. By the way, interesting thing about Nikki Haley, she's born on January 20th, which means if she was to win, she would be inaugurated on her birthday.
Wouldn't that be a birthday present?
She'd be 53. Yeah. And by the way, Pete Buttigieg, who of course was trying last time, he's born on January 19th. So if he ever won, he'd be inaugurated the day after his birthday. I think that's just funny. They're both born around inauguration day.
Well, that would be quite a birthday present, wouldn't it? And I would agree.
Imagine with Buttigieg against Haley.
Yeah.
Imagine with Buttigieg against Haley in the future. One born on January 20, one born on January 19th, and one of them being the winner and getting inaugurated on his birthday or the day after. It's just. That would be funny, I think.
Ramaswamy, I think he would like to be Donald Trump's vice president, and I see that as certainly a possibility. That would definitely, Ron, by far, be the biggest difference in age between the president and the vice president. Trump, old enough to be Ramaswamy's grandpa. Old enough to be a grandpa, you know, about 40 years difference. That would be kind of fascinating.
Also, well, Trump seems to be impressed with him because Ramaswamy doesn't really criticize him. That's why I think it's a weakness.
Interesting little tidbits. Not only that, Ramaswamy's not a very big guy. Trump's kind of tall, so possibly, you know, I'd have to research as you would, but possibly the biggest difference in height. And yes, Ramaswamy is skinny. He said he is skinny. I don't know. He weighs more than 130 pounds soaking wet. Donald Trump claims to weigh 215. I think it's closer to 315.
Oh yeah, sure.
But it would be definitely the biggest difference in weight between a president and a vice president. That would be.
Well, it would even be big. It'd be even bigger if it was Chris Christie and Ramaswamy.
Yeah, that would. That's unlikely to happen, but I tell you.
I'm just saying it's funny. The thought of it is funny.
But it would be kind of fascinating, though. Yeah, biggest difference in age. We've had vice presidents in their 30s, but Trump is older than the president who would have been the president at the time. And, you know, Trump doesn't look like a great physical specimen. He's not as big as Christie, but I don't see him entering the Mr. America contest anytime soon. Ramaswamy?
Yeah, I thought of a great wrestling match. A wrestling match of Christie with Trump. Can you imagine that?
That would be comical. Yeah, Ramaswamy, it does look like he's in good shape. I get he weighs maybe 130 pounds soaking wet. He's not very tall. So it would be a big difference physically between Trump and Ramaswamy. I think seeing them together, you know, if they were to win... this huge guy and this skinny. I mean, Ramaswamy looks closer to 28 than 38. Trump looks his age. Yeah. He doesn't really look that old, but he isn't a great physical specimen. It would be kind of fascinating to say the least to see such different people physically as president and vice president. And you know, leave it to me, Ron, to think of something quirky like that. But it is kind of fascinating, and you know, opposites attract, as they say. So could it possibly help the campaign? I don't know. We have two people that can be loudmouths, are certainly arrogant. I think in terms of book smarts, we would agree. Ramaswamy takes the cake. Street smarts, I mean, Ramaswamy is younger, so you wouldn't expect as many street smarts and wisdom, but obviously he is the embodiment of the American dream. He's a self-made, very rich man. And so in that respect, we have two street smart people. One, they're also very book smart. It would be a fascinating ticket, that's for sure. I mean, a vice presidential debate potentially between Ramaswamy and Harris, that would be a spectacle for sure. And whatever happens the next few months leading up to the November election in 2024 is going to be a great time for radio talk shows, tabloids, and everything else for sure. So,
and for my commentary, and the thing is that I do think we would, you know, that Ron DeSantis has really fallen apart. He's going nowhere, as far as for the presidency. He's not gaining anything. I think he's a big flop. He's the Scott Walker of 2024, like Scott Walker was in 2016. Everybody thought he was a front runner, and he fell apart. You know?
So in that debate, you weren't overly impressed with your governor, Ron DeSantis. Do you still find him kind of cold? I was trying to see if that was how it would feel, because you've mentioned that he doesn't seem warm and fuzzy. Christie, I agree, he does seem warm and fuzzy. He kind of looks warm and fuzzy, but... I didn't really see that in DeSantis. He seemed somewhat authoritative. Didn't seem unfriendly, but
somewhat. That's the understatement. He's authoritarian minded, and he can't even smile naturally. He has a stiff smile. He's not a nice person.
Kind of. And thinking of smiling, Ramaswamy smiles a bit too much. I think he's kind of the other extreme.
Yes.
He just says something,
more
appealing. It's like he sits there with a big grin on his face, and it's. He's an interesting character. I mean, I admire that at his young age, he's amassed all this wealth. He's obviously a smart man, clever. But is he presidential material? Well, we shall find out.
I must say, 20 years ago, when he questioned Al Sharpton, he had the same big smile. He was only 18, but he was very out there. And Sharpton was smiling at him because he was very charming. The two of them had a good discussion there.
He has a charm about him. It's certainly very different. We had a diverse bunch, and that's why Haley, again, kind of seemed, I guess, the most normal, the most mainstream, and kind of the voice of reason. I would say probably the least conservative, unless you want to say Christie is the least conservative. It's kind of a tough call. Doug Burgum, kind of blasé, seems like a nice guy, but I'm not sure he really comes across as presidential. So
Asa Hutchinson also is a bit boring, but I like that he speaks out against Trump and won't back him.
Yeah.
I do like that.
Hutchinson seems like a nice guy, but
And he's also 75, though. He's a little old, you know.
Yeah, in contrast to a certain Arkansas governor who recently had an 8-year, very popular presidential term, Mr. Clinton. Hutchinson and Clinton, very different, but everybody...
But he's also much younger. Clinton was very young when he became governor. You know, he was in his 30s, you know.
So definitely a fascinating bunch in the Republican presidential debate, and I think it's just going to get juicier as we get closer and closer to November of next year. Speaking of Republicans and someone who recently was president and would like to be president again, Mr. Donald J. Trump, the mugshot, that certainly got a lot of social media attention, and the trial is going to be televised nationally. It's going to make the O.J. Simpson
trial,
thing look like peanuts. What's your opinion? Did you like the mugshot, Ron? And how do you think that the world's going to react when they see Donald Trump on live TV in a courtroom?
Well, I thought the photograph was arrogant, but that's him. You know, I don't think it flattered him. But he had all these crazy people buying shirts and everything else that have his picture on there. I think they're crazy. Why would anybody want to walk around with that? I don't get it. But there's a lot of nutty people in this country, a lot of mentally disturbed people. Because to back him after everything has happened is amazing. And to deny what happened, you know, on January 6th, you know, I know people say nothing really happened there. What do you mean? You have all the footage. You see what happened live. It's crazy when people try to deny that. But it's scary. It's really like, it's almost like a cult, C-U-L-T, and that's very scary.
Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WGH Radio. Dr. Ron Feinman, my guest here, as we talk about presidential debate. We previously talked about his teaching career and anything else that I may find to be a stimulating topic. And rarely do we actually run out of topics, and I doubt that's going to happen today. He does write the blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Let's talk about maybe a lighter topic in the presidency. From September 2nd, you write in your blog, should there be a second Mount Rushmore and which presidents? Ron, it seems like right now people can't agree on anything politically and how to enshrine people. They want to knock statues down. They want to put statues up. They want to protest. How could this country possibly have agreement on which four people to put up on a new Mount Rushmore? We can't even agree. And, you know, we can't even agree on what holidays to celebrate or what statues to take down. Is this too much of a step, or can it possibly unify the country? What are your thoughts?
I don't know necessarily if it's going to happen, but it's been broached about, talked about. The thing is, I think if you're going to have people on a second Mount Rushmore, it would have to be people that not normal Americans necessarily think, but what experts say are the top presidents. And right now, we have four presidents who are in the top 10, Washington, Jefferson, Lincoln, and Theodore Roosevelt. And then there are actually 11 presidents that stand out as really much better than the rest. So I have chosen FDR, Eisenhower, JFK, and Obama as others. They're all in the top 10. The only others that are debatable are Truman, Lyndon Johnson, and Ronald Reagan. And I think if Johnson hadn't messed up Vietnam, he would be the one who would be put on. Truman, maybe, but I don't know. Truman comes after FDR before Eisenhower. I think that probably hurts him, but he's still made in the top 10. And Reagan is either 10th or 11th. But to me, Eisenhower, Republican, is certainly higher rated than Reagan, and I think Reagan's still too divisive. I really think that's why I think the best combination is FDR, Ike, JFK, and Obama. That's my opinion. Anybody beyond those 11, I can't imagine being in the list. It has to be out of those seven others, other than the four that are already on Mount Rushmore.
I mean, I'm no big Obama fan, but I think as the first black president, I think it's justified. Reagan, neither of us much of a fan either, but he did take the jump from show business into the presidency. He was very popular. He did cause major changes at the USSR, obviously. So love him or hate him, we're not necessarily judging worthiness on a new Mount Rushmore by if people like the person or not. It's if anything groundbreaking happened. FDR also, our last, and unless they change the Constitution again, never be another president who served as long as he did. He overcame personal battles, overcame paralyzing a condition. Certainly someone, again, love him or hate him, was a very groundbreaking president, and I think he would belong on Mount Rushmore also. But bottom line is, Ron, do you think it's actually going to happen? Are they going to do this?
It will probably take generations to do it because it's a major project. It can't be done even if you started to do it. It took, after all, 14 years for Mount Rushmore. I don't know, but it's an interesting thing to think about. But one thing I want to point out, in order to create balance, if you do what I say, put FDR, Ike, Kennedy, and Obama on a second Mount Rushmore, that makes eight presidents. presidents that are being honored, you think about it, three of them are Republicans. That is Lincoln, T.R., and Ike. Three are Democrats, FDR, Kennedy, and Obama. One is a Federalist, Washington, and one is a Democratic Republican, and that's Jefferson. So I think it's and those are eight out of the top 11. No matter how people do it, those are eight out of the top 11. Again, the other three, you know, could also be considered LBJ, Truman, and Reagan. But I think that this is a good balance. And Eisenhower is rated higher than Reagan by scholars. So that's why he would be the third Republican after Lincoln and TR in my viewpoint.
I think having diversity is good. Again, not necessarily saying if we like these presidents, but did they do something groundbreaking? FDR and Obama, I think it's pretty obvious. The other ones, well, certainly up for discussion, and I'm sure if this does look like a reality, there will be ample arguing and delineating about it. But that's how we roll here in this country.
I will say again, LBJ, if it hadn't been for Vietnam, LBJ definitely would be on this list. But because of Vietnam, it does lower him. And yet he's still in the top 10, at the bottom of the top 10. Yeah. You know?
LBJ was the president when I was born, so that'd be kind of cool. They're not going to put my mug on Mount Rushmore. So I guess the president, when I came into this world, that's second best thing. The televised trial, Ron, for Donald Trump, and I guess it's going to start in the fall. They're getting a speedy trial. Do you plan on being glued to your television set? Are you going to tape it? Are you going to watch it and bring some popcorn for all the comedy?
Of course, I'm not going to be always all time to be able to watch it at times, but I'll watch a lot of it and I'll read up on it. I'm not going to sit hour after hour, no. And of course, I have to teach and I have things to do, appointments and stuff. But I certainly would pay a lot of attention like I did with the O.J. Simpson. But even there, it was more summary at night. You can't sit there all day and just watch it. But I'm sure a lot of people will, and they'll have main points of what goes on that it'll certainly be covered. And it's going to be a path-breaking trial because it's really amazing to have it on television.
It'll be one, as I talked to you earlier, with expensive commercials. I would just love to advertise my business during that trial. It'll be probably more expensive than the Super Bowl at this point, as I certainly think that people will be enjoying it, analyzing it, laughing about it, butting heads over it, and make for great TV watching, that is for sure.
And I bet it's going to cause more divorces and more breakups in families. You want to bet on that? I'm certain of it.
Be surprised one bit. Adam Lepp here on The Talking Place, WWGH Radio, with my microphone mate, brother in broadcasting, Dr. Ron Fineman, talking about current events, presidents, debates, his teaching career, and all kinds of other good stuff. You wrote in your blog a few days ago, Ron, Donald Trump condemned to be in last place among the presidents, and you don't feel that's going to change anytime soon, as a president has never gotten a mugshot previously, so you feel that he will have this dubious distinction of being zero after Buchanan, after Harding, any of the other presidents that are often in the basement.
I think that he wasn't in the bottom, he's the bottom few in ratings, but now he looks worse than Buchanan or Andrew Johnson or Warren G. Harding or Franklin Pierce, because they didn't do things like that. They didn't come anywhere near the venality of Trump. So I think they actually go rise a little bit, and particularly Harding. Harding is a decent man. He's not a good president, but again, I did give that show, you know, with Scott about the good things he did. So I think Harding looks a little bit better, but not that he's good. But you know, I think they all rise a bit. And George W. Bush also looks better, and Richard Nixon looks better. Everybody looks better compared to Trump, as I see.
Yeah, from the show you had with Scott, Harding, I mean, even things I didn't know, accomplished a lot. He had his demons, so definitely an enigma, a bit like Nixon. Do you look at the bad or the good? I like to think the glass is half
Nixon
full.
Nixon had some really good stuff. Yeah, Nixon.
Yeah,
really
yeah they're both
ways, yeah.
Both enigmas. Or Donald Trump, well, he's just in a class by himself. We'll leave it at that. Just a few minutes left before we wrap up. As my mama always said, time flies when you're having fun, and this has been one of the funnest shows in recent memory. But what else would one expect here on the Adam Lepp mid-morning, mid-afternoon Computer Guy show, coffee break, radio extravaganza? We have former President Jimmy Carter, who I sometimes call the peanut president, still chugging along, nearing 100.
Yes.
He is in hospice at home, but he's still with us, and he's a fighter. I don't see him leaving this earth anytime soon, if you know, you want to know how I feel, and we wish him well. He certainly had a difficult presidency, but someone whose star has certainly brightened since his presidency. We agree, a nice guy. Whether his presidency was any good, that's another topic of discussion, but a good man.
I think
man.
He's underrated.
Yeah, a good man. I think we can all,
how underrated he is.
All agree on that. And I always mention that I'm fond of his brother, Billy, daughter, Amy, and his mama, Miss Lillian. Now, Carter is now the longest-lived president in history, and we're...
Nobody will ever pass his age. I don't think so.
Yeah, we're...
I think nobody will ever reach 99, which he will be October 1, yeah.
Crossing our fingers, he will reach the triple-digit mark, and we shall see. You wrote recently about the longevity of presidents. It's a little scary, Ron. There are a few gentlemen here that passed away younger than I am currently, such as John F. Kennedy, 46. Roosevelt and Coolidge, close. Warren G. Harding, I think I probably age better, but he was 2 years younger than I am currently when he passed away. We're not going to mention, don't mention the number, but goodness sakes. Put a tingle down my...
But interestingly, 40% of the presidents since 1900 had a short lifespan, but 60% have had a very long lifespan.
Yeah. It's a tingle down my spine.
It's,
yeah. Our local president, Marion, I've beat his lifespan by 2 years. No comment there from the peanut gallery, but a little bit of a chill down my spine. Let's put it that way. Now, there have been several presidents who have lived a long life. George Bush, number one, 94. Reagan, 93. And going back a little bit, Herbert Hoover, that's kind of hard to say, 90. Harry S.
and
Truman.
And Gerald Ford, 93.
Yeah,
Gerald
88.
Ford, 93,
Gerald R. Ford. I guess the pipe smoking was good for him because he lived to be 93. And our current president, Joe Biden, will be 81 in about 2.5 months.
Yeah.
So people are living longer. Some people say people are looking younger, and I would definitely agree with that. And, you know, presidential longevity is an interesting topic. Of course, we do have presidents who were assassinated, like John F. Kennedy
and Lincoln.
And we have presidents who died of natural causes at a young age, and presidents who have lived a very long time past the expected lifespan of their generation. Presidency being a stressful job. We've talked about how Jimmy Carter seemed to have aged about 30 years in his face from when he began the presidency. I would say he looked in his late 30s to when he ended the presidency, where I think he looked in his 60s. It just happens. Some people take the stress better than others.
43 years on January 23rd. It'll be 43 years in retirement. Can you imagine? 43 years?
Yeah, and I guess...
That's crazy.
I guess with Joe Biden well into his presidency, Ron, do you think in the face that he's aged more than the 2 to 3 years that he's been in office? I mean, again, we agree, Carter, for some reason, he just seemed to do a total metamorphosis when he was in office. But with...
I think Biden looks no different than he did 2 years ago. I really don't think... He doesn't look young, but I think he's fine. I mean, he does flub a little bit. He's not perfect, but I think he's perfectly capable, you know, to continue to be in office. Is it preferable? No. I wish he would retire, but it doesn't mean he can't succeed. Winston Churchill was in office in his 80s, so it's not like it can't be done. I just worry a little bit about it, but again, as long as you have a vice president that, whether you like him or her or not, as long as they're capable of doing the job, that's the best you can do. Because we've had vice presidents who were not that great and became president, and we survived them. I think the age issue for him at this point is not an issue to be concerned about. But yes, he is the oldest president, but I think he's proved overall that he's able to do the job still. So I still have confidence that
does come up. I think it's just in some presidents, like with Carter, we can agree, he just seemed to age quite a bit. He had that stressful presidency. He certainly was a hard worker. Whereas others, it didn't seem to change much. Even Donald Trump, I didn't see a lot of difference. And Obama, he had more gray hair, but he was probably coloring it anyway. And I didn't see much of a change. He still looks like he's in great shape. So that's a fascinating study. You know, I'm not saying Ramaswamy is going to win the presidency. I don't think he'll win the presidency. He might maybe in 10 or 20 years. But if he were, I'd be intrigued how much he might age. Again, right now, he's 38, looks closer to 28. What could the presidency do to such a youthful-looking person? You really don't know. That's a
I have a thought. Imagine if Ramaswamy stays in good health, got elected at a young age, and had post-retirement at more than 43 years.
Yeah, it's a fascinating study in human nature. So,
yeah.
Bottom line is, it's going to be juicy, interesting, certainly comical, and an educational experience for all. Ron, thank you for joining us. We have covered a smidgen of what we were wanting to, but we always have a great time. We laugh a bit, and we both learn a little bit.
Yes.
We do encourage people to view his blog, theprogressiveprofessor.com. Follow Ron Fineman and The Progressive Professor on Facebook. And last but not least, on X, formerly known as Twitter, be sure to follow Politist, Polithist. And last but not least, if you have any questions, comments, complaints, or suggestions for me, feel free to communicate electronically, Adam at WWGH1071.com.